Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Tyrus. You guys know Tyrus on Greg Gutfeld's show on Fox News. They're like the late night comedy show. The kings of late night now is Greg Gutfeld's show because all the other so-called late night comedy shows just aren't funny. They're just left-wing drivel. But anyway, last night they were talking about Michigan Governor Gretchen. Is it Whitmer? I thought it was Wilmer. Anyway, so Michigan's governor, Democrat governor, she showed up at the Trump White House because Donald Trump's going to help out Michigan. One of the big lakes out there is struggling with invasive species, right? And, you know, of course, Donald Trump, he's been great for the environment. The environmentalists don't want you to know that, but he's been great for the environment. So Michigan's governor shows up at the Oval Office. But see, the Democrats, oh, buddy, you better not meet with the president of the United States. You better not be seen with him. She covered her face. She covered her face with what looked like a big trapper keeper. You remember that from the 80s? She covers her face because she didn't want the cameras, apparently, to get a photo of her in the White House. But eventually, she had to pull the trapper keeper down and show her face in the White House. And it was so embarrassing just watching her because you could tell she's like, well, Mr. President, like, she looked like she got pulled into the principal's office. And it's like, he's here. He's being nice. He's helping you. He's helping the lake defend it from these invasive species. Like, why can't you just put on a happy face? Anyway, the Babylon Bee has a hilarious headline. And we'll have several hilarious headlines here. Where did I put it, though? I had it right in front of me here. I thought I stacked them all together. That's all right. I'll go into my X account. Gretchen Whitmer sneaks into the White House again. And then the photo that they use is President Trump talking to the governor of Michigan, and she's wearing a full burqa. So the photo is like this woman wearing a full blacked-out burqa with just her eyes showing. And then President Trump shaking her hand. Gretchen Whitmer sneaks into the White House again. Absolutely hilarious. This is the Gutfeld program last night.
But this goes back to, this is our problem. A coward dies a thousand deaths. A soldier dies but once. And a really lucky soldier doesn't. But this guy, she's, instead of saying, I'm there to do work for my people of Michigan, mm-hmm. I'm a leader of my state. She would hide because she answers to the people who cuts her checks, who pay for her re-election bid. That's who she's hiding from. That's not leadership. If I was a voter in Michigan, like, wait, you're embarrassed to go to the White House to push the issues to help us? Why am I voting? You're not a leader then. You shouldn't vote for her. So this should haunt her. This should be the end of her career. No one should ever vote. That's not leadership.
Harlan, it's not leadership. He's right. Bernie Sanders wouldn't do that.
Well, let me pause it right there, because this actor and comedian, Harland Williams, if you don't know the name, you would know the face. I think he's been in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies and more. His response to this story is hilarious. But I got a hard break here as we get you to your news and your weather. So Harland Williams weighs in on the roast of Whitmer. It looks like her in that burqa. I mean, great job by the Babylon Bee.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, we're looking at high temperatures to range from the upper 60s to around 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy as temperatures will drop off in the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. Partly sunny Wednesday with some late-day showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The Passover attack on the Harrisburg mansion where Governor Josh Shapiro lives with his family, and he had local Jewish people over to do a Seder, is disgusting. It's despicable. And the guy who set fires to the mansion was actually hoping to fine the governor and attack him with a hammer. It's only by sheer luck that Josh Shapiro avoided this assassination attempt because he and his family and friends were in a different part of the mansion, which the arsonist had no way of knowing. Had that not been the case, they all would have been killed. And so journalists must stay on the story. This is not a one-day story. This is unacceptable. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I want to make sure you guys get the backstory here. I want to make sure you guys are in on the joke. So the Joker is going to be here in about an hour. John Jackson, the Joker from X. We always have a great time. The time flies by. I think he'll be with us from 8 until 10 today. So for 2 hours, it won't be just the most unwoke hour of the week. It'll be the most unwoke 2 hours of the week. But that's partly why I'm playing this gut-filled clip. I also want to play a couple of sound bites. Bill Maher, you know, the far-left guy, Bill Maher, who's got that show on HBO, he went to the White House and met with Donald Trump. But he wasn't like, you know, the governor of Michigan trying to hide his face and sheepishly enter the Oval Office like he got busted, right? He's like, yeah, I went there. And, yeah, we had a good time. And he told his far-left viewers basically to F off if they didn't like the fact that he went and met with Donald Trump, because a lot of them were telling him, you shouldn't meet with him. You shouldn't meet with him. He's Hitler. You know, the same nut job clownery that we've seen from, you know, a lot of the Montana Democrats even. But yeah, it's going to be so fast moving from 8 to 10 that I won't be able to play some of these longer sound bites. We'll just want quick hits, quick reactions. So that's why I'm playing it right now. Here you go. So this is the actor and comedian Harlan Williams talking about Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer trying to hide her face in the Oval Office.
Well, first of all, I don't think the real crime here is that she's hiding behind, like, cards like she's coaching on the NFL sideline. Yeah. I think the real crime here is that she went to the Oval Office dressed as Captain Crunch.
Well,
I mean, it's like where's Waldo in an Olive Garden pantsuit over here?
You got to understand, though, she was going to wear a blue dress, but they told her not in the White House. So she went with the blazer and stuff.
Yeah. What I think we're overlooking is the giant fly on her pants. What the hell is that all about?
I thought it was a camera.
I thought she was transitioning. What's going on?
Where does she pull it and it turns into a flotation device and floats away? Oh, you saw me.
The Whitmer sport coat is located under the seat of the aircraft. Anyway, man, what a hilarious segment there on Gutfeld. And they had a guest host last night for the Gutfeld program. But yeah, Bill Maher, man, he wasn't afraid to tell his audience that he went and met with Donald J. Trump at the White House. This was one of the funniest back and forth. I think the Fox and Friends Weekend Edition featured this clip.
First good sign, before I left for the Capitol, I had my staff collect and print out this list of almost 60 different insulting epithets that the president has said about me. Things like stupid, dummy, lowlife dummy, sleazebag, sick, sad, stone cold crazy, really a dumb guy, fired like a dog, his show is dead. 60. I brought this to the White House because I wanted him to sign it. Which he did.
Oh,
which he did with good humor. And I know as I say that, millions of liberal sphincters just tightened.
Yeah, he pulled up. It was like an executive order. You know when Donald Trump will sign those executive orders and then he'll show them around, you know, this side of the room, that side of the room. That's what Bill Maher did there. But, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, because I'm sure his audience was like, oh, he said all those mean things about you. Oh, like Bill Maher has never said mean things about people throughout his career. I mean, give me a break. But, oh, Donald Trump said something mean about somebody. Pearl clutching. Here we go. He also said that, you know, how he enjoyed the meeting with President Trump. And it's a sign of how bad the Democrats actually are these days. Because remember, Bill Maher has been calling them out for the woke mob. He's been calling them out for men and women's sports and more.
When I got there, that guy wasn't living there. Now, does Trump want respect? Of course. Who doesn't? My friend said to me, what are you going to wear to the White House? I said, I don't know, but I'm not going to dress like Zelensky, I'll tell you that. He's much more self-aware than he lets on in public. Look, I get it. It doesn't matter who he is at a private dinner with a comedian. It matters who he is on the world stage. I'm just taking it as a positive that this person exists, because everything I've ever not liked about him was, I swear to God, absent, at least on this night with this guy. I never felt I had to walk on eggshells around him. And honestly, I voted for Clinton and Obama, but I would never feel comfortable talking to them the way I was able to talk with Donald Trump. That's just how it went down. Make of it what you will. Me, I feel it's emblematic of why the Democrats are so unpopular these days.
No, they're bitter, they're angry, they're pushing the most radical agenda. And I think what people are starting to figure out is that Donald Trump is funny. He's likable. And eventually, even they start to crack. Eventually, even they're going to break and realize, like, all right, man, this guy's pretty funny. Man, and man, what this guy's doing, it really is good for this country. But you're still, and what you're going to see on full display in Missoula, Montana tomorrow, apparently I just saw something, a post on X. You know, it's the lifestyles of the rich and socialist. Bernie Sanders and AOC, they're doing a rally at the Adams Center at the University of Montana. It's you know, for those of you in Bozeman, you've got the Field House. Missoula's got the Adams Center. So that's where Bernie and AOC and their rich socialists are going to be at. I saw some rich kid gets to go on the stage with them, the Democrat candidate for governor. One of his rich kids gets to be on stage with his fellow socialists. So the Democrat Party is just...
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last three or four decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management, and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism, foreign tourists, spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A ready-to-eat product sold at Walmart has been recalled over bacteria issues. The Food and Drug Administration says due to Farm Fresh Foods, the makers of Marketside Celery Sticks have called back the products because of possible listeria contamination. The Georgia Department of Agriculture got a positive result on a random test, prompting the recall. The plastic-wrapped celery sticks come in a 4-count with a sell-by date of March 23rd and were sold in Walmarts in about 30 states. The products have a lot code of P047650. No illnesses have been reported at this time. Listeriosis is a form of food poisoning, and symptoms include fever, headache, stiffness, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. And while a listerial infection can be easily treated with antibiotics, it is particularly dangerous to those who are pregnant or have a weakened immune system. The FDA says consumers should throw the products away if they have them. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos. Fox News.
Troy.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Well, as we move along, the spring of 2025, producers are hard at it out in the field getting the spring crops planted. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey joins us and shares more on the 10-state region of the Great Plains and Rocky Mountain West with some concerning very short to short topsoil moisture.
Much of the remainder of the country is actually dealing with some dryness still at this early stage of the 2025 season. Specifically, the 10-state area that comprises the Rockies and the Great Plains, that is from New Mexico and Texas, extending northward through the Dakotas and Montana. And in that area, which includes a lot of our hard red winter wheat areas and some important pasture land and rangeland, we still see significant topsoil moisture shortages starting the year. The range within that area goes from a low of 36% very short to short in Colorado all the way up to 95% very short to short in New Mexico. In fact, there's only a handful of states, Colorado being the only one below 40% in that entire area. In addition to New Mexico, we have South Dakota coming in at 70% very short to short, Wyoming at 62%. Some of that dryness extends into the Southwest, the Southern Great Basin, and so that is really kind of our core drought concern heading into the spring.
While it is beneficial right now, as many producers are trying to get their spring crops seeded, we're also crossing our fingers for more moisture in the coming weeks. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, I still got to give this one a listen. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox last night. I think she was on with Jesse Waters, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, with Bernie Sanders and AOC showing up in Missoula, it's like, don't get me wrong, the Missoula leftists, they're going to be all fired up. They're going to be like, oh, yay, and it's just going to be a sign that the Montana Democrat Party cannot shake themselves. They are the AOC party. They're the Ilhan Omar party. They're the Jasmine Crockett party. And that's why they cannot appeal to outside of these islands of blue in these university districts. They have zero appeal. And in places like Butte, where people still vote Democrat just because that's what they've always done, they're quickly losing appeal. I mean, Donald Trump did the best a Republican candidate for president has done in Butte, Silver Bow County, since the 1950s. And yet the Democrat Party in Montana is just continuing down that path. So good for them. We got several messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. But first, you know, we just got the Farm and Ranch report there from our friend Lane Nordlund. By the way, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, yesterday I was telling you guys about how Lane and Russell and their great photographer, Paul Humphrey, they created, I think Lane did it, he created their AI action figures for the Western Egg Network. If you want to check it out, I've got that story on our Montana Talks website. You can see their AI action figures. And then the one about Ryan Zinke, Congressman Zinke's on there as well with his whole knife collection and everything. But, yeah, since we just got the Farm and Ranch report, let me give you a little bit of a Farm and Ranch report here as well. So, you guys have heard our friend Brian Massard. Brian Massard is a past president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. Now, and he's got the Reminis Angus Ranch in Dillon, Montana. He's made all sorts of great products too, as well. But really, Reminis Angus, you know, they're known for their premium steaks, their ground beef, their jerky. I even had some beef bacon from Reminis Angus Ranch as well. They've got a big bull sale that they already just had last month. But, yeah, keep an eye out there. You know, I know some of the town and country stores have the Reminis Angus beef. You can also check out his Reminis Angus Ranch website at remangus.com. Really, you know, whenever you hear Brian Massard on this show, I mean, man, he'll describe the ranch, and here it is, it's springtime, and he'll talk about how the land is coming alive once again, not just the green grass, but it's so cool to hear him talk about that. But also, he's talked about how he's been working very closely with RFK Jr., who's now the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and, you know, trying to basically make America healthy again. And a key way to make America healthy again is, of course, some good Montana beef and, yeah, Reminis Angus Ranch. They've got to go to Rem Angus, remangus.com. And keep your eye out for their products there as well. Okay, let's see. Let's get into these messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app. Sorry, I'm a little late getting to some of these here. Evan and Belt said this. He says, so these liberal idiots want to free a gang member, all the while they will jail a parent for speaking out at a school board meeting for trying to protect their child from a deranged sexual predator. I don't know about you, but I thank God the election went the way it did. Can you imagine an America under the leadership or lack thereof under cackling Kamala? Evan, what a great reminder. What is Montana's U.S. attorney doing now? The acting U.S. attorney, now that Trump's back in the White House, Kurt Almey, he joined us on the show recently. He talked about how the FBI is surging resources into Indian country to tackle a whole host of unsolved cases, open cases, et cetera. You remember what Biden's acting, what Biden forced his acting U.S. attorney in Montana to do? Send a threat letter to county attorneys all across the state, basically threatening parents who speak out against crazy school board policies. All the while, the drug cartels were invading this state and causing all sorts of chaos. But no, a threat letter to county attorneys across the state to threaten parents speaking out at school board meetings. Yeah, thanks for the reminder of that one as well, Evan and Belt. Let me see. I got some other messages that came in here. Let's see. We'll take them in no particular order. Kelly in Glasgow, I was talking about, Miles City. And some of the liberal parents in Miles City, yeah, there's liberals there. I know. Yeah, there's a band of crazy, and even in small towns, they've got the band of crazy. Kelly and so these liberal parents in Miles City, they kept their kids out of school because they didn't want their kids to get a chance to hear from a United States senator named Tim Sheehy. Kelly says this. The ones we really have to worry about are all their brainwashed kids. Sorry about that one, kid. And I usually mute my mic every time we go into the news break or whatever, you know. And so, left it on there. But I couldn't help but laugh. You know, Kilmar, it sounds like Kilmore, the MS-13 gang member who they keep describing as a Maryland man, even though he's an illegal alien from El Salvador, and apparently residing in El Salvador right now. Now, the left-wing media would say, well, the reason we call him a Maryland man is because he resides in Maryland. Well, he doesn't reside in Maryland now. He's back home in El Salvador. So why do you keep calling him a Maryland man? Because they're fakes, because they're phonies. Evan and Belt, I mentioned he sent a message on the Montana Talks app earlier this morning. He sent a couple other great ones that I didn't get a chance to get to yesterday, unfortunately. I don't know why. I must have just missed it. But he said this. He's referring to flip-flop flat-top, liberal senator, former Senator John Tester. Have you noticed how the TV stations are desperately trying to promote John Tester's phony podcast? I mean, the guy must be that desperate to get people to watch or to subscribe to his podcast that he's got the Scripps TV stations here in Montana trying to promote it for him. Evan and Belt said this. So Big John has a podcast, and apparently the Democrats are trying to get him to run for Congress or governor. What a surprise. I say do it, by the way, Evan. I say you tell John Tester to run for Congress. You tell him to run for governor. That guy has such a failed record. I think he finally got so badly exposed that if he ever runs for anything ever again, he is going to get walloped. But anyway, back to what Evan and Belt says. I remember a post-election interview where Tester claimed he was looking forward to getting back to Big Sandy and his farm and to possibly grow the size of his farm. But now here he is out here promoting this podcast. Sure looks to me like he is living up his legacy of being the flip-flop, flat-top. Yep, sure looks that way, doesn't it, Evan. Now, unless he thinks he can run for office again, and then all of a sudden he'll run back to the photo op farm, won't he? Of course he will. Of course he will. All right, coming up after the next break, you know, we've been talking about property tax relief or lack thereof coming out of the legislature in Helena. This has been a big rant of mine for a few days. I told the Democrat House Minority Whip last week, I said, hey, if the city of Billings is threatening legislators, if you move forward with property tax relief, we're going to fire police officers and firefighters. I said, don't you let them hold property tax relief hostage for the entire state of Montana. Call them out on their BS. Well, the Billings City Council had a big meeting last night to look at how they would handle property tax relief if it's delivered and how they would adjust for a $7 million budgetary shortfall if the property tax relief actually goes forward. Jennifer Owen is one of the smartest people I know. She's on the Billings City Council. She'll be in to explain right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. You know, this is your host, Aaron Flint.
All righty. Yeah, thanks, Caden, for the new intro liners there. So I jumped in a little too fast. But, yeah, you know, it was interesting. I scanned some of the local Billings area media sources, and I don't think I saw a story about the city council meeting last night. But this was a big meeting, as I understand it, that was set to take place. And it has, you know, big impacts potentially on the rest of the state of Montana as well, because as I understand it, you know, property tax relief discussions are almost at a standstill in Helena, and the city of Billings is a big reason why some of this property tax relief is at a standstill back in Helena in the Montana legislature. We've got Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen. I said it before, she's one of the smartest people I know. She's here to talk about it. Jennifer, great to see you again.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So how did the meeting go last night? I know some people, Pam Purinton called in yesterday and she said, I think the city is now looking for a short-term fix that doesn't bust the charter. For anybody who missed yesterday's show, basically it sounded like last week, like this, the current city leadership was going to go to Helena and bust a cap on us, bust the cap on the charter, so where they could willy-nilly raise taxes on Billings citizens. And there were a lot of people saying, whoa, just because you're gonna see a short-term shortfall from property tax relief doesn't mean you should get to long-term raise our taxes. Anyway, your thoughts on what happened last night?
Yeah, so in Helena right now, I think you're right. There's a lot of property tax bills being considered. People want property tax relief, and I'm very supportive of that. The question is how we do it well. So there's a strategy. There's a group of bills that are about a property tax rebate. We saw that in the last session. And then there's a number of bills that are about sort of devaluing the mill or just straight, you know, kind of across the board rate cuts. And those have some distinct impacts in Billings because, as you indicated, Aaron, we have here a cap on the number of mill levies that the city council could impose without going to the voters for permission, which I think is a good thing, frankly. And it has really benefited the city of Billings. Our property taxes are generally lower than you see around much of the state, in the large cities at least.
Which is a pretty sad commentary on what's going on in the state, because property taxes are still pretty stinking high.
That's exactly right. But yet we, you know, I mean, the Frontier Institute has shown that when you look at Billings property taxes compared to growth and inflation, we're 11% lower. You know, Flathead, Missoula, they're 100% higher. So it's a drastic difference. So the question here is, if there's going to be bills that move in Helena, how do we ensure that our voters here in Billings get property tax relief, but that we don't also decimate critical local services like police and fire? And so we had a conversation last night, because it's true, there have been people in city leadership who are championing to take out that provision in our charter. Our charter is our local constitution. It's what binds us as elected officials. And there have been some people who have saying, you know, it would really be a lot easier if we just worked like every other city in the state. Well, in Montana, citizens have the right to self-governance. And a long time ago, the people of Billings said, we want our own charter, our own local constitution, and in that, we want a cap how much property tax the city council can raise without coming back to us as the voters. I think we have an obligation to protect that as elected officials. And last night, that's what we did. So there's been a lot of people out kind of freelancing, having opinions. And last night we took a formal vote. So there was a 9-1 vote to oppose any efforts to undermine the city of Billings charter mill cap. Now, that means that we're going to have to work with our legislative delegation and legislative leaders to say, listen, we're with you in the mission of property tax relief. But we also need to ensure that Billings isn't the only city that gets a swipe, because the city of Billings has kept taxes low. So let's not punish the very people who've been good stewards of the dollar.
And the state has figured out solutions. So whenever they do away with business equipment taxes or raise the exemption for business equipment taxes, that will create a shortfall in revenue at the local or county level as well. So the state's figured out ways to say, okay, here's what we're going to do to ease this transition as we move away from this system. But yeah, put it in a bigger picture perspective here. Look at Missoula, and you probably remember the Paula Abdul song, One Step Forward, Two Steps Back. We want to take that one step forward property tax relief, but in Missoula, I'll guarantee you what they're going to do, they're going to take two steps back. The city will raise their taxes again. The county will raise their taxes again. This is what prevents Billings from automatically doing the same thing here. But with that $7 million shortfall, Scott Aspenlighter joined us to talk to highlight it. I think he was the first to highlight this issue. Look, you've found $7 million before, and you found $7 million and gave it to public safety.
That's right.
Because you're doing your job. You're like the Doge of Billings, basically. So I think that the city of Billings they're going to find $7 million within the next year. Do they really need to freak out and threaten to fire cops and firefighters?
I really think the citizens are tired of that. I think often we put, there are proposals put out that show how cuts could happen. But we always seem to start with the things that make people bleed, right? Police, parks. We don't need to do that. My preference would be, as you mentioned, that when the state kind of makes tax changes, we have something that's called an entitlement share that backfills local people. A short-term entitlement share backfill that bridges the gap and allows us to phase in cuts over, 1, 2, 3 years, pick your time frame, it doesn't really matter, gives us the chance to do some things. We know there are places. This take this whole property tax hell in a discussion off the table, we still would have been in there, the number of us who believe in fiscal responsibility, making some critical budget cuts. We did not levy the full cap last year. We kept it below the cap. We need to continue ensuring that our budget is about priorities. We need to make this community safe. We need to invest in critical infrastructure and then let the private sector do its job. That would have happened no matter what. And I think our best ask right now to the legislature is, listen, if you want to move forward with this, please don't make us drastically gut the budget in 1 year. Give us 3 years to phase it in responsibly.
Well, and later this year, I mean, one of the awful things about our property tax system in Montana is it's based off of the value of our homes. Mm-hmm. And property values keep going up. That's here right. In Montana. They keep going up in Billings. And so the city of Billings is going to get a lot more money as a result of that, even maybe as early as later this year.
This is a property reevaluation year, so we will see some people get reassessed. And in addition, if we're working well with the private sector, if we have a good vision of growth, the city will grow. There will be more taxpayers in the community that help us. So again, I think that question of time really matters. If we have 1 or 2 property reassessment cycles plus 1 or 2 years of growth, and we see it happening, houses going up everywhere, that's good news, then we can do this without having real harm. We just need a little bit of time.
You know, it is interesting. I feel like the city of Billings is still, unfortunately, too tilted in a leftward direction. Seeing some positive changes on the city council. There's going to be a mayoral's race later this year, things like that. But big picture, it's interesting. When I talk with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal, you look at the growth in Yellowstone County. Everybody talks about the explosive growth in Yellowstone County, just like Gallatin and Flathead and others are seeing growth. But yet, really, it's not Billings that's growing in a big way. Billings' growth is like
steady.
Tiny. It's tiny. Yellowstone County is where all the growth is. And so it just seems like the city is not doing enough to grow within the city limits. And so instead, they just try to go grab county chunks piece by piece.
Well, I think there's a couple things there. We do see continued increases in building permits. People are coming into the city and building residentially and commercially. There are also people who are on the edges of the city who want city services. So they are annexing. We don't run out and grab county land. People come to us and say, we want to build at city density. So we'd like to annex in. And that's a good story. But we cannot ignore the fact that there are people preferring to build in the county because working with the city of Billings is still too onerous. So a number of us have been meeting with folks in town, property owners, developers, architects, engineers, realtors, people who are at the front lines of the growth saying, how can we be better? How can we be more efficient, more streamlined, and really more predictable? Because that's what private capital wants. They want predictability. So we
and that's a pattern in other cities as well.
For sure.
It's, you see these islands of blue or leaning blue, and then so everybody pushes out into the county because of it. Mm-hmm. So it's a similar pattern that we're seeing in other cities.
And we just want to be better. You know, I believe that Billings is the best city in the state. We need to lead and lead strong. And we need to show what a good conservative vision of private sector growth, focused local government can really accomplish.
You know, switching. Well, anything else on the property tax front?
No.
Is the logjam finally going to break then in Helena? Because it's not looking good for property tax. Well, frankly, it's not looking good for practically anything right now in Helena.
I do not have any crystal ball for Helena. If I did, I'd probably be much, much wealthier. I think what I want people to hear loud and clear is city council stood firm last night. We will protect our charter. We will oppose any effort to reach in and blow up our local right to self-governance. And then we'll go from there. We will work with our delegation. They've been very engaged and responsive. We've heard clearly. Leader McGilvery has said we must address this from Billings. Everyone is on board with understanding that the people here have done the work to keep property taxes low. Let's not punish them.
All right. And to the legislators in Helena, yeah, onward. Press forward with significant property
That's
tax
right.
relief, or I truly believe that there will be hell to pay, or heck, whatever words you want to use for it. You got a few more minutes?
You bet.
All right. Billings City Council Member Jennifer Owens is going to stick around for a few more minutes right here on Montana Talks. And then the Joker, John Jackson from X, with us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But I want to get her take on, you know, another issue before the legislature right now is expanding prison capacity, which will also free up jail capacity. And we've got crowded jails across the state. So we'll get her take on that. And maybe she has something else she wants to talk about as well right after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
The internet is going berserk over the real ID deadline, and it's ridiculous. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we cover the full range of topics that are on your mind and speak with some brilliant, talented, thoughtful women and men who have excelled in their respective fields and careers. Plus, every Thursday is your turn. You get to be the lawyer, and you get to ask the questions about whatever is foremost on your mind.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
There is a bipartisan social media freakout underway over the approaching May 7th Real ID deadline, and I'm befuddled as to why. The Real ID requirements were passed in 2005 when George W. was in office. The deadline to be Real ID compliant has been pushed back 4 times so far. In Tennessee, I had to show a proof of U.S. citizenship, my Social Security card, and 2 proofs of Tennessee residency, like a utility bill or a current bank statement. None of those things were hard to produce. But now people are panicking because they won't be able to board a domestic flight without it come May 7th. Important to note, you can also show a passport, by the way. This is probably going to cause a headache at the TSA line, but it's because people are lazy and have put it off for years. This is not the surveillance state at work. This is some pretty basic stuff here, people. Get it together. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, we're looking at high temperatures to range from the upper 60s to around 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy as temperatures will drop off in the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. Partly sunny Wednesday with some late-day showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather.
They do more than keep the lights on for you.
Billings police quickly snagged a kidnapping and vehicle theft suspect after some great surveillance photos showed up. Check out the full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your
ForProsperity.org to tell Congress, make the tax cuts permanent. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity, Montana.
Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton show. Buck, I believe, will be back in the studio as a father for the very first time. We'll find out how the delivery process went, plus the absolute latest on the ongoing tariff battle and the big, beautiful bill and how it is all playing out. We will break it down for you. Make sure you don't miss it. It'll be the Tuesday edition. Come hang with us on Clay and Buck.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
For the record, when Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen walked into the studios, she did not do the Gretchen Whitmer cover the face approach. So she's out here. She's getting her face out there. She's talking to folks, confronting these issues head on. Always great to have Jennifer Owen here with us. Like I say, just one of the smartest people serving in Montana government at any level right now, state, local, you name it. Let's talk about prison capacity and jails. And then, well, first, anything you want to talk about? I know I've been throwing stuff your direction.
Yeah. No, that's great. Really appreciate it. I really wanted the citizens to hear about what we, you know, the firm stance we took on property tax. So thank you for that. As a reminder, we are heading into budget sessions. So we're going to start having those conversations about our police, our fire, our water, our sewer, and our infrastructure. And those are going to be really meaningful. This year, this upcoming budget year is the final payment that we are making to the county on our partnership to build a 72-hour pre-arraignment holding facility. That's a really big deal. It's under construction right now. It is not a substitute for jail expansion, speaking to the prison issue, but it really is an opportunity for this fall for us to begin bringing consequences back into the criminal justice system, giving our officers the ability to arrest, hold someone overnight until they see the judge the next morning, even for these just sort of petty annoyances, the misdemeanor assaults, the minor thefts, the shoplifting, the things that just frustrate us. We have partnered with the county. We have sent our marijuana dollars back to the county and said, let's build something that makes our criminal justice system work again. So I'm very grateful to the commissioners for working with the city on getting that facility. It's going to open this fall. Commissioners have took another big stance in insisting that people who are in a Yellowstone County detention facility pay the full cost. That was a very important step forward. And now we continue to work on what the future of jail expansion is in this community.
Yeah, there's other, you know, for folks that live in other towns, other cities, if you want to call them cities, and if you have a jail that is full, I want to highlight what Jennifer Owen just mentioned here. You could have just sat back and said, no, not our problem. Mm-hmm. That's the county's problem, even though the city of Billings is, of course, the biggest part of Yellowstone County from that type of perspective, right? But you said, no, we're gonna find some money, and we're going to be a part of this effort, and we're going to help make this temporary detention
Correct.
Facility happen while we also look at building a longer-term jail
Exactly.
expansion. And so that's huge. And so other cities could look to do the same thing instead of just saying, nope, not our problem. Yes, it is your problem. And maybe
Absolutely.
It's not your responsibility, but it's your problem, right? And then what do you think, too? I mean, I know everybody's leery of more spending, but we've got to expand our state prison capacity
Have
as
to.
Well. We've grown. That's part of the reason a lot of these jails are full.
That's exactly right. And this really is, we are past the point, I believe, of being able to point jurisdictional fingers. The taxpayers don't care. It's their money. It belongs to them. And what they have said resoundingly here in Billings and across the state is we want a safe community. We want safe neighborhoods. And that means that we have to grow our jail capacity here, and the prison needs to grow its capacity so that we can get people who are waiting transfer to the Department of Corrections custody out and moving. And we see what happens. The transfer of women, because we have women's prison here, happens very quickly. The warden at the Montana Women's Prison is tremendous. She's a partner in the criminal justice system. And the women who move from YCDF to the women's prison go very quickly. We need to do the same for adult men. We need to be able to partner better with the state because the taxpayers have had it, and rightly so. It is time to make Billings the safest community in the state, and it's time to invest in our criminal justice infrastructure around the state.
Well, one of the things a lot of people in Billings have complained about over the years is that Billings has been the dumping grounds for the state's offenders when they get released back into these pre-release programs. I did see that Kalispell's getting a pre-release program soon, so I imagine you see that as welcome news?
It is welcome news. That's sort of been my mantra when we hear from people around the state who say, how can we help Billings? What can we do? What I've said is send money to Great Falls, Butte, Kalispell. Let them take their share of this challenge so that we're all in it together.
All right, Billings City Council Member Jennifer Owen, great to see you. Thanks for joining us in studio. Maybe
thanks,
we'll see you again soon.
Great, thanks.
All right, quick break. We'll get your national news update in here, and then the Joker. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. We always have maybe a little too much fun. Probably too much fun. Yeah, I think you'd all agree.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last three or four decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism. Foreign tourists spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.